Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. This is Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, and this is our final episode on the series of online education called Is It Connected or Is It Disconnected? And one of the things that we really tried to do in this series is to talk about equity in education. In other words, I really feel that if we're going to have equity in our entire society, the most important thing that we can do is have equity in education so that everybody has a good background and has the ability to learn. And one of the things that this pandemic has done is it hit us in the face. It knocked us down immediately. I think even everybody thought that when we first got started with the pandemic, that it was going to be like, you know, somebody has flu in their school, we close the school for a week or 2 weeks, everything opens up again, and everything is fine. And it's been interesting, the research that's been done on situations where kids have been out of school for periods of time, for X number of snow days, or there has been a natural disaster in an area, tornado, winter snow, that kind of thing, where students have been out of school for a week or 2 weeks or longer, that there is a missing part of their learning. We learn a lot in schools, and we learn the academics. And, you know, if you think about your own learning and think about maybe something that you have been trained for, and I always think about like computer skills, that I've been trained to use Excel, for instance, or use a Word program. And I come home from the training and, man, I know that program so well. And then I don't use it for a week and I have no idea what I'm looking at. It's like, do I press this button or that button? And I think that kids in school have the same type of reaction. We also know that kids at different ages in relation to picking up learning again are very different. In other words, the kids that are in the kindergarten classes up through fourth grade are learning reading. And reading is the base. If you think about it, really, reading is the basis for all classes. You read a science book. You read a biology book. You read a language book. Everything involves reading. And so kids learn their basic reading in the kindergarten through the fourth grade. And in doing that, they learn the sight words. They learn the 100 sight words. They learn how to phonetically pronounce words. And once they have that basis, then from fourth grade on, they tend to do fluency. They learn more words. They learn to read quicker. And so from fourth grade on, it's not as bad to increase reading than it is at the 1 through 4 grades. Also, some concepts tend to be picked up easier. And I shouldn't say easy, but easier. I think that's the key word there. One of those things is math. If we haven't learned how to figure out degrees in a triangle, or if we haven't figured out how to carry over when we subtract or multiply or add, when we get that skill back again, and we've done our sheet of 100 addition problems, we learn the skill relatively easily. Another thing that's really important in this whole pandemic situation and going to an online education is just simply the issue of socialization. One of the things that kids learn in school, and it's important to note that behavior is not a inherent condition that you have. You learn behavior. You learn how to act appropriately around other kids. Some behaviors we learn are good. Some behaviors we learn are bad. And so what we need to do in school is learn how to work in groups. Now, as some of our speakers said, well, you know, you can go to Zoom and you can take a, go to a sidebar and put four kids in a group together and they can work. I think that's true. I think that we can make situations that are similar, but I don't think we can make situations that are identical to being across the table from someone and talking to them. I even noticed just being on the radio and having someone, when we've done a live interview in the studio, it makes it easier when you've got a person across the table and you can see facial expressions, you can see body language. All those are things that we react to. Also is something that is really important that, and you know, one of our speakers, Teresa Snyder, said that it's important that when kids go back to school, and I think virtually everyone thinks that kids are going to be starting back to school probably this year and going back to school next year, and all the teachers at that time will be vaccinated, which is really critical to the teacher education organizations, is that we need to take it easy. We're not going to make up a full year of education in 1 month. That is so important. And as you recall, one of our speakers said, her hero was Mr. Rogers, because Mr. Rogers went slow and Mr. Rogers listened to kids. And I think when we go back to school, we need to listen to kids. We need to find out where they are. Kids at different ages will have different understandings of a pandemic, but it's pretty scary. It really is pretty scary for most kids. And so I think that those are the kinds of things that we're going to need to work on. Other things that I think that are really critical that we do slowly are work with kids with behavior issues, and learning appropriate language, and learning how to, if you are angry at someone on the playground, you don't just turn around and hit the kid. We need to work with teachers to teach how to de-escalate, just as we've talked about, you know, police. We need to de-escalate. We need to find situations where we can make it easier. One of the things that's really interesting that I found out was it's hard, it's almost impossible. And this is what I taught some of my students when I was working with behavior, that if you go out on the playground, and let's say you've got two boys out in the playground and they're fighting, and you want to keep yourself safe, the adrenaline is super high in two kids fighting, the first thing that you do is engage them in a verbal conversation, because it's hard to fight and have a verbal conversation at the same time. We also know that if you can just even take the kid away from the fight for a few seconds, adrenaline level drops, kid's more reasonable. The worst thing that you can do is get in the middle of a fight and try to break kids up. You need to do it with talking, and you need to do it slowly. And so that's another component I think we're really going to need to do. Also, I think if you talk about behavior and you talk about socialization, I remember some of the teachers that I worked with in the middle school said that, you know, that was really a good idea to put kids in suspended animation for 3 years. And when they came out and they had all the behavior skills when they got into high school. Well, I don't think I know we're not going to do that. But we need to deal with those kinds of skills too. We need to, and I think the key there is really to deal with issues of respect. One thing my father told me that I remember quite a few things he told me, was that you respect everybody that's out there. I don't care if the person is picking up your garbage, or I don't care if whoever the person is, you treat them with respect. And I think that that's one of the key things we really need to do this next year. We need to tone down the rhetoric, and we need to get kids to feel comfortable in that school setting. I've seen some papers that have said this is a lost year of education. It's not a lost year of education. Every day you get up in the morning, you learn something. And I think that that's true for kids, and it's true for parents. I know parents that have taught their kids during this time how to cook. I remember one of the most important things my mother ever taught me was how to sew a button on my shirt. I think otherwise I would have gone around in college with about 2 buttons on every shirt that I had. But I think that those are, that we can learn things and we can have skills that aren't always, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. One of my friends was saying she taught her daughter how to dance, and she taught her son how to dance. And that's cool. That's great. You can learn different things at home. And take advantage, if you're at home, while you will do academics online, take advantage of those skills that are not, that you're not going to get in the classroom in the school. And also, if you're there with your parents and working with different things, I think a lot of times the pressure level is off. One of my friends told me that lives on the island that his grandson is doing better doing online education because he doesn't feel the pressure of being in that entire class. He doesn't feel the pressure of, you know, and I used to hate this when they would put how many books you read up on the bulletin board. And, you put a star up there every time you read a book. Well, I got around that by learning to read really short books. It really is kind of a divisive thing. You see some kids up there that have, 80 stars, and, here's Bill and Sue down there that have 3 stars. Well, first of all, Bill and Sue know they're never going to probably get 50 stars. So what's the use? What's the incentive to do that? And I think that we need to realize that kids are individual, and especially in this online education, that kids are individuals, and we need to treat them as such. And each kid has unique skills and abilities. One of the things that I think we've heard throughout this series is that there does need to be more training. There does need to be more technological training. And I really think that because there's a need for it, and because there is, money to be made in developing programs and developing curriculums, I think that those things are really going to improve. And I think the technology is also going to improve. When you look at just the difference between programs like Skype and when they first started out, with everything being delayed by 2 or 3 seconds, and looking at Zoom and some of the newer programs, not dissing the old programs because everything moves forward, but they really have made some improvements there. And I think those are the things we're going to see. The other thing that I think that is kind of throughout this entire series is there are positives about it. And one of the biggest positives that we've learned is that I've talked to so many parents that said, I never knew that teachers work this hard, that teaching kids concepts and sometimes going over and over to get kids to learn concepts was so difficult. But that when you did teach a concept, when you did get it across, it was wonderful. You saw the kids smile. There's nothing better as a teacher. Nothing I can remember better than when a kid would get a concept and I could talk to that student and see that student smile and, you know, say, Dr. Nurse, I'm going to take this book home and I'm going to read it to my mom and dad. And, you know, those are really, really critical things. Another thing that I think is really positive is that we have learned now that in education, it's not and it never should be one size fits all, that each kid learns differently. Kids learn at different rates. We should be responsive to those different rates. And also be aware that there are lots of different ways to learn concepts. And there are lots of different methods of learning those concepts. It's so important to know that. And I think that's another concept that parents need to have, is to realize that, you know, their kid, you don't need to always compare your kid to the top kid in the class or whoever is considered the top kid in the class. Kids know where they sit in a class and know who's, you know, who are the, when you have, I remember when I was in school, we had reading groups and we had, I think we were always birds, you know, like the bluebirds were the top reading group. And then you had the red birds. And then at the bottom were probably the crows or something. But, you know, we all knew who was in the good reading group and who wasn't in the good reading group. And kids do enough labeling of themselves that we don't, I think as educators, we don't need to do it that much more and really enforce those kinds of things. I also think we need to be cautious of the kids that have disabilities. And are they learning through the in the same manner? And are we going to have to take special measures when we do? Right now, in the past, I've worked in the summers because all school districts are required to have what are called extended school year programs, because kids with certain types of disabilities tend to lose more academic skills, more social skills, more behavior skills over the summer than kids that are not in special education programs. And so we know that these kids are going to have more difficult problems coming back. Also, we need to also look at kids whose language that's spoken in the home is not English. Virtually everything that we see in the schools is English. Now, we do have, we libraries are getting much more savvy about this. Teachers are getting much more savvy about this. It's very seldom that I go into a classroom and it does not have some reading books for the kids to choose that are in different languages or are about different cultures or are in Spanish. But we need to be aware of this and realize that you're really fighting two dragons when you're trying to learn the academics and at the same time trying to learn those academics in a language that's not not your primary language spoken at home. So with all these things, I think the other positive is that teachers have told me, they've said, we've learned how to work in a different environment. And that from now on, we think that teaching online may be a viable option for some kids. There are several programs, several school districts in the state that already have pretty well established online programs. And they've found that that's an effective way. Also, if kids need to get up and move, they can get up and move. They can take breaks. They can take breaks in an environment that's safe and that's in their own home. And I think the teachers, I think you're going to see a lot more online education done after this pandemic is through. And a lot of these skills are going to be transferred towards the future. And I think that's good. It's no longer going to be 26 students in five rows facing forward the teacher's desk, looking at the, well, I used to say, see, it dates me, I say, looking at the blackboard. Now it's looking at the electronic whiteboard. But those things are still important to learn. I do think there are also important skills that need to be done at school. I think we need to have extracurricular activities. I think we need to have clubs. I think we need to teach kids how to paint and do art in a group setting. And I do think things are going to get better. The other thing that I think is really important in this whole process is the issue of resilience. And I think I've seen, that's been one of the best things that I've seen in this whole pandemic, has been both the resilience of kids being able to work in this environment and also being able to understand that this is a different situation. I do want to remind you that my name is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is the series of episodes on online education, where we've interviewed all professionals, administrators, students, teachers, principals. And so if you want to go back and look at some of these other programs that have been archived, feel free to do it. Also, if you have any comments about the programs, I'd appreciate those. And you can contact me through Voice of Vashon. So in closing, I think that there are a few things that we really need to do to make school effective next year. As one of my guests said, we need to listen to kids. We need to treat kids as humans with skills and with abilities. Also, another thing that was said is we can't treat kids like little adults. They don't have the experience that we have as adults. And so we need to listen to it from their standpoint. The other thing is we really need to work with issues of equity. It used to be when I started teaching in the Highline District, I started teaching at Chinook Junior High. Our mascot was a Brave, which was now changed because that's not correct way to look at it. And we had kids from four different cultures at Chinook Junior High. We had 1,100 students. Now in the Highline District, there are students speaking over 46 different languages. And I'm sure it's probably more at this time. And so we have to be aware of those differences. We have to be aware of those cultures. And some students, for instance, some students consider, some cultures consider that if you look a person directly in the eyes, that it's not being nice to them. It's not being a positive thing. Whereas how many times, I don't know, that a teacher, well, or my parents have said, look me right in the eye and tell me something. And so we need to have that training. We need to realize that treating everyone the same is not treating everybody equitably. In other words, I, as a person who uses a wheelchair, somebody can tell me, you're more than welcome to attend the meeting at the second level of the building with no elevator. Well, I certainly have the ability to do that, but I don't have the physical capability of doing that. So we need to look at those differences. We need to also be aware that there are lots of programs that are on-hands type programs that I think are important in school that need to be taught in that school setting. I think things like vocational education, preparing kids for jobs, preparing kids for jobs that they're interested in, and having classes like programming computers, having classes that are pertinent to today are really important. The other thing that I think we need in schools that can possibly be duplicated is the issue of counseling and working with kids and helping them decide really what they want to do in their life, as well as working with parents. And sometimes, as one teacher said, just being able to see a student and to be able to get those cues and those triggers that are visual, that I may know that that child is not feeling good today about some reason, maybe something in the family or something else, that I can go to that student and I can ask them. And that's difficult to do in a class that's online. I also hope that we get back to school too, that we can have some of those typical high school sports and some of those kinds of things that we had before, and that we can get together in groups. And so with that, I'm going to close. And I think that it's important that right now, I'm just going to say it, even though I have had my first vaccine, it's still important to wear masks, to respect others, to wash your hands as much as you can, and to be safe. And again, it goes back to my father's statement, respect others. And I think we do that by acting appropriately in this pandemic. So with that, I'm closing this series. Thank you very much for listening. This is Dr. Stephen W. Nurse. Be safe.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.